Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. The name of Molly Cyrus is almost as famous as the name of Hannah Montana, the character that she plays on Disney's now billion-dollar brand of products, including a television program, music, film, live performances, and all the rest. But now the Hannah Montana brand is being threatened, even as the public reputation of Molly Cyrus, because of a photo spread that is being published in next month's issue of Vanity Fair magazine. And it really is a big story because it gets to one of the biggest issues we can discuss on this program, actually a nexus of issues, having to do with how we expect our children to figure out what's going on in the media, how we decide what is and is not art, and in this case, how we understand that in this culture at this time, you can take one picture, and if it's in one context, it's child pornography. If it's hanging in a museum or published maybe in Vanity Fair magazine, it's supposedly art. We're going to talk about some of the confusions over visual art and why Christians have a real stake in this controversy. We're going to think about how parents should be framing the thoughts that they will themselves used to guide their parenting, and they will share with their children when it comes to how to think about this. Because right now, the websites are going furious. They're fast in developing the real feedback to this story, with a lot of moms saying, how do I explain to my 9-year-old what Hannah Montana or Molly Cyrus, as the real-life character is named, is doing here? How do I explain this? We'll get to that in just a moment. We want to invite your phone calls to join the conversation. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. First, let's look at some other issues in the news. One of the biggest stories out there right now is the decision of the United Methodist Church meeting in its big general conference held only once every 4 years to retain policies on homosexuality. Religion News Service is reporting the United Methodist Church held its traditional rules on homosexuality Wednesday, refusing to support or celebrate same-sex unions and maintaining language that calls homosexual activity, quote, incompatible with Christian teaching, end quote. While many Methodists gathered in Fort Worth acknowledged sharp disagreement within their church on sexuality and biblical interpretation, delegates voted down efforts that would reflect that division in church roles or social policies. There was a motion that was made on the floor of the General Conference to remove the language incompatible, that is, that homosexual activity is incompatible with Christian teaching. The motion was to replace that language with language that would say that all persons should, quote, refrain from judgment regarding homosexual persons and practices as the Spirit leads us to new insight, end quote. That motion failed by a vote of 517 to 416. Now, let's just add that up together for just a moment. You're looking at a total there of 933 votes. Out of those 933 votes, 416 were for changing the language. And I guess that's what alarms me. And I have so many good friends who are United Methodists who love the gospel and love the word of God. I have to look at that and say, this has to be a very troubling thing. It's a matter of great relief, I know, to a lot of these United Methodist Christians very concerned with the integrity of their church, that the denomination meeting at its 4-year general conference did not change its policies. But when the vote is this close, and the issue was that clear, you just have to wonder how long this is going to hold. And as a matter of fact, that is one of the statements being made. Some of the people who had supported changing the policy and normalizing homosexuality have come out on their own website saying, look, we're disappointed. And there was a tearful response on the part of some of those who were advocating the change, even at the General Conference. But they say, just wait, it's going to happen. In other words, you just give us enough time and we will win this argument. But when you start looking at this, it really is very interesting to see that in a church founded by John Wesley, of all things, a church that has included, you know, some of the Christian names that helped to frame our entire Christian tradition, starting with John and Charles Wesley, that this church came that close with a vote of 416 and defeated only by a larger number of 517, you have to look at that and say, you know, that 101 vote margin just doesn't give a great deal of confidence looking to the future. But a vote's a vote. And 4 years is 4 years. So you can be absolutely confident that 4 years from now, at the next general conference of the United Methodist Church, this issue is going to come up again. So what's going to happen in the next 4 years? Let's just be very clear about this. Over the next 4 years, those who are advocating for the normalization of homosexuality, those who want to see the church's policy changed, who want to take out the language that says that homosexual activity is incompatible with Christian teaching, they're going to be continuing to press that case. They're going to continue to say the church simply must change these standards. The language that is used that I was reading just earlier today uses the language of hurt and harm. And we are familiar with that language now, where you have people saying that this kind of language hurts and harms homosexuals. But even as they're going to be trying to make that argument, on the other side, there are going to be those who will make the argument saying, look, the scripture is very clear about this. And our goal is neither to hurt nor to harm anyone. But there is no hurt and there is no harm in the healing of the truth of the Word of God and the healing power of the gospel. You see, we've got to learn how to convert that question. And when people come to us and say, I'm hurt when you tell me that I'm sinning, we just have to respond and say, it hurts to be told we're sinning. And that's true for every single one of us, as our sin, every one of us, is hit by the fact that the Bible nails our sin for what it is. But the Bible doesn't leave us with simply identifying what we need to know, and that is the fact of our sin. But it points us to the cross of Christ, to the gospel of Christ, as the only remedy for that sin. So I'm inviting you today to give thanks for the fact that the United Methodist Church, which is the second largest non-Catholic denomination in this country, held to its principles here and did not accommodate itself to the sexual revolutionaries. But at the same time, we need to pray for the United Methodist Church, as we pray for all of our churches and denominations, that we would become, over the next 4 years, closer to the Word of God, more grounded in the truthfulness of God's Word, and that we would use every opportunity to try to reach out to all persons with the gospel of Christ. And to do so, mixing compassion and truth-telling, knowing that in the end of the day, if we get it right, they are one and the same thing. Other issues in the news include the fact that sales for the book known as The Shack continue to grow. The book is by William P. Young, and just a couple of weeks ago on this program, we did an entire program looking at this book, and obviously I have grave concerns about it because of the teachings in the book that I believe fall far short of biblical orthodoxy. In recent weeks, I've had response to that program of people writing back and saying, it's about literature, it's about a story, it's not about theology. You shouldn't read it with a theological grid. Well, here's the bottom line. If you're a Christian, you have to read everything with some kind of theological grid. And when there are clear theological issues and teachings found within a book, you can't ignore them for what they are. I appreciate those who even would disagree, but would acknowledge with the fact, that is, they would disagree with the theological judgment, but they would at least agree that the theological issues are important. Interestingly enough, Lynn Garrett, senior religion editor for Publishers Weekly, who was commenting on the success of the book, and as a self-published book or a book that began self-published, this is, as she said, every author's dream. She says, quote, people are not necessarily concerned with how orthodox the theology is. People are into the story and how the book strikes them emotionally. Very, very interesting. You know, you look at that. You look at the whole issue about, here you have the religion editor for Publishers Weekly saying, people aren't necessarily concerned with how orthodox the theology is. That actually does tell you a very, very great deal. The author of the book, again, is William P. Young. And as he explains what he was doing, as is recorded in this news story by Lynn Grossman, Kathy Lynn Grossman of USA Today, he says The Shack was where he learned to confront evil and strip the darkness away to reveal a loving God within. The problem is the within part. That's not actually where we find God. We find God on the cross in the person of Jesus Christ. We find the revelation of God in His Word. We don't come to have peace with God by introspection. Rather, we come to have peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That in itself is very interesting. You want to know how America's changing? Let me just give you one statistic. This will give you something to ponder. This one statistic tells you a whole lot about what America is going to be like in years to come. If you take every child in America, according to the U.S. Census report released just in the last couple of days, if you take every child under the age of five, one out of every four is Latino. That's a picture of a changing America before you. 25% of all children under age five are Latino. Right back to talk about when one picture can be, in the 1 minute, child porn, in the other minute, high art. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
There's a whole lot of explaining going on, and a lot of it's not working. It's not holding water. There are an awful lot of parents trying to explain to their children what Miley Cyrus, better known as Hannah Montana, is doing in photographs by Annie Leibovitz, published in Vanity Fair magazine, showing this girl, 15 years old, topless except for a satin sheet, very sexually suggestive any way you look at it. Annie Leibovitz, the artist, is saying that she regrets any misinterpretation of the photograph. But the interpretation is actually pretty clear, and that's the problem, and that's why it's hit the newspapers and the media all around the world, and that's why there are an awful lot of 9-year-old girls asking their moms what's going on with Molly. It's not just that. At Yale University, a lot of questions are being asked. How did a piece of art nearly get presented as a senior project, which had to do supposedly with a Yale art senior, a young woman, committing miscarriages or aborting pregnancies, saving the results and putting it together with other materials in order to make an art demonstration? Big argument between that student, as we shall see, and Yale University over exactly what happened, but no one doubts that there's a whole lot of explaining going on there. Meanwhile, Jenny Yabroff, writing at Newsweek, begins her article this way. A German artist wants to install a terminally ill patient in a gallery as an exhibit. In Nicaragua last year, an artist displayed a starving dog tethered just out of reach of food as conceptual art. Now, something is wrong with the culture, and art often tells us what's going on. And in this culture, something's desperately wrong when all this is presented as art. The Miley Cyrus thing, of course, at the level of popular culture, is much better known as a controversy than the other things I've just mentioned. But in terms of the art community, the Yale University controversy is huge, as are the controversies from Nicaragua and Germany. But looking at the Miley Cyrus question and looking at the photograph, and I will not link to the photograph, you're going to have to go find that for yourself if you're determined to see it. But let me just describe it for you, and you'll get a pretty clear idea of what we're talking about. Annie Leibovitz is well known as one of the world's most famous photographers. She is known, for instance, for some controversy with a fairly recent photo exhibition having to do with Queen Elizabeth I of Great Britain. Now she is in controversy again. She says it's because her photograph has been misinterpreted. The photograph is of Miley Cyrus, the 15-year-old girl who is Hannah Montana and is a major product line for Disney. Disney's very upset about this because they say injury to the product line, which according to some analysts will reach $1 billion by the time Miley Cyrus, is indeed 18 years of age. Miley Cyrus, the 15-year-old girl, is pictured in some of the photographs with her father, singer Billy Ray Cyrus, and in others by herself. And in the most notorious of the solo pictures, she is with herself and by herself with only a satin sheet, as it appears, and a black-and-white photograph that is sexually suggestive. Now, Annie Leibovitz says that her photograph has been misinterpreted. She says she regrets the misinterpretation. It certainly didn't have anything to do, she says, with the fact that that this would be in any way sexually suggestive. And yet, there is almost no way I would suggest that anyone in his right mind would suggest that there's any other intention behind this, regardless of what any party to this has to say. Miley Cyrus herself has issued an apology, saying that she is going to apologize to her fans for what must be confusing to them. And let's remember that Miley Cyrus is herself, even as she is the youngest artist ever to have two back-to-back platinum albums in 18 months. Even as she has really broken so many records in terms of sales of tickets, even as she is the most popular brand among young girls 14 and under, she now has hurt that brand with this particular photo shoot. And the big question is, why isn't this child pornography? How can you have a photograph like this that in the picture and in the pages of Vanity Fair magazine is considered high art? Vanity Fair magazine is really a kind of a billboard for high art in this country, or at least what's perceived to be the high art intersection with the celebrity world. You start looking at that and you say, we are a culture in big trouble. I'd like to know, especially from parents out there, how you're dealing with this. How are you explaining this? Or are you having to explain it? Are you facing the fact that you've got, especially young girls asking the question, what's going on with Miley? Are you facing the question of what's going on in terms of the larger issues at stake here? And how in the world would you suggest that that we're to make a distinction between what's art and what's pornography? Justice Potter Stewart of the United States Supreme Court, now retired and now deceased, years ago, in a question of obscenity and pornography, refused to define pornography, saying simply, I know it when I see it. Well, I think I know enough when I see it to know that this is a sexually suggestive photograph of a 15-year-old girl. And I hold everyone involved responsible. Miley Cyrus herself, and her parents who allowed this to take place, and the photographer who took the photographs, and the magazine that is publishing the photographs and benefiting from all of this controversy. And, yeah, I even blame Disney for commodifying a child in the form even of a teen idol like this and creating the opportunity that leads to a 15-year-old girl being pictured this way in the pages of Vanity Fair magazine. I'd like to know what you think about it. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Art, pornography, children, this is crazy stuff. At Yale University, just to kind of let you know what's going on there, a student by the name of Eliza Schwartz has, again, produced this senior project. The senior project is described as consisting of materials that she used after she inseminated herself and then brought about an abortion and then took the results and made it into art. This has created a scandal throughout the art world. It has created an academic crisis for Yale University. A report that came out today says that Ms. Schwartz will be releasing an alternative senior project. But listen to this. This is just the kind of confusion you have out there in the larger culture. This is Eliza Schwartz writing in the Yale Daily News, her own column explaining herself. Listen to this. She says this about her art. She says, the piece, in its textual and sculptural forms, is meant to call into question the relationship between form and function as they converge on the body. She means this to be taken seriously, folks, so listen. She says, the artwork exists in the verbal narrative you see above, as an installation that will take place in Green Hall, as a time-based performance, as an independent concept, as a myth, and as a public discourse. This is what they give people degrees for at Yale. She writes, it creates an ambiguity that isolates the locus of ontology to an act of readership. An intentional ambiguity pervades both the act and the objects I produced in relation to it. The performance exists only as I choose to represent it. For me, the most poignant aspect of this representation, the part most meaningful in terms of its political agenda, and incidentally the aspect that has not been discussed thus far, is the impossibility of accurately identifying the resulting blood. Because the miscarriages coincide with the expected date of menstruation, it remains ambiguous as to whether there was a fertilized ovum or not. The reality of this pregnancy, both for myself and for the audience, is a matter of reading. She goes on and on and on. You know, you look at this and you realize somebody considered this art. The academic crisis at Yale University is that obviously they have a faculty member who considered this as art and did not call a halt to it. Miley Cyrus, Eliza Schwartz, what you've got going on in so many different parts of this culture is evidence that we have separated beauty from truth, truth from beauty, goodness from beauty and truth from goodness, and we are now reaping the questions. And it comes down in the form of Miley Cyrus to the question, why aren't we just calling this what it is, a form of child pornography? This is the Albert Mueller Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. If you look at a major newspaper, if you've been watching anything in the cable news stations, you've been seeing the Miley Cyrus stuff just everywhere. And it's because, first of all, we have a media entertainment complex, a news complex that is trolling for this kind of controversy all the time, for this kind of scandal. And all you have to do is mention some of the names of, someone like Britney Spears, someone whose name I've carefully never before mentioned, I think, on this program. And was proud of that until this very moment, you realize that, you know, when you say that and you attach the scandal to it and all the rest, this is a culture that really has a very weird and pernicious kind of dynamic going on, in which we lift someone up as an example, and then when they collapse morally, as is so often the case because of it, I'm not saying they're not responsible, but you start looking at how they are set up and how they are pampered and how they must lose touch with reality and how their parents must lose touch with reality. You look at that and you say, you know, then we just feed the endless news cycle. But what has led me to believe we needed to have this conversation today would be the kinds of questions I've been receiving by email and the suggestions that have come to my website with parents saying, what's going on here? And isn't this child pornography? I think it is. I'd like to know what you think. The phone number is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. From Hastings, Nebraska, Nick is listening on KMMJ. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, Dr. Mohler, it's just really unsettling to me having three girls myself under the age of 12, and they look up to Miley Cyrus and just seeing what she has done here when they had seen her also proclaim that she's also a Christian and that she really protects her chastity. So I just wanted to know what you thought about that.
Yeah, I'm troubled by it, too. Not on behalf of the fact that I would have a little girl. My daughter's older now. When I start thinking about that, it just strikes me that the celebrity culture is probably just a negative thing almost all around. Because I don't know Miley Cyrus. As a matter of fact, I really hadn't heard of her much before the controversy broke. But now that it has broken, I realize that she's a name that is very well known to an awful lot of parents for this reason. And the fact she's identified as a Christian and all the rest certainly makes it more complicated. I have to say, Nick, when I look at this, one of the things I think I might say is, look, here is a 15-year-old girl. She is responsible for her life, but the fact is there are other people who are even more responsible for her. And I would really fault the adults in this as much as anything and say, you know, where were her parents when this was done? How could it be possible that this girl would become so much of a brand and so much of a commodified product that someone will lose track of the fact you're talking about the emotions, the heart, the soul, the character, the person, the experiences of a 15-year-old girl here? And so where's the protection for her? And I think it's probably a good thing, Nick, to point out that we live in a fallen world, and even to let your girls know that there are those who would use them, who would misuse them, and that there are those who would, even through pictures and things like this, really do injury, not only to Miley Cyrus, but to others as well. And, you know, Nick, I just got to be thankful for the fact that I have absolute confidence that you wouldn't let this happen. And that might be a confidence you can give your girls to say, I guarantee you this isn't going to happen to you. And no one's going to be talking about this kind of photograph taken of you, not so long as you're my daughter, because I'm going to protect you. And let me tell you, children need to know, in the midst of a controversy and certainly a scandal like this, that they are actually protected from this. Because my guess is there are an awful lot of kids that are wondering just how vulnerable anyone really is. Thanks for the call, Nick, and God bless you as you are the dad, the Christian dad to those three little girls. Let's go to Jeffersonville, Indiana. Karen's listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Karen.
Hi. You know, I watched the Nickelodeon Awards with my four children, 9 and under, and we were so, me and my husband were so grateful that when she won the Female Vocalist Award, first she said, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then I want to thank my fans. And then, you know, we were so uplifted because of that platform. And then now here she is posing topless. Like, you know,
yeah.
This is going to give me an opportunity to talk, unfortunately, to my children about how, you know, our hearts are pure. We can have a pure heart, but the world can twist and turn it.
Yeah, I appreciate your call, Karen. I appreciate your concern as a mom. You know, and I understand exactly what you say when you talk about Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana, taking advantage of that platform to declare her faith in Christ. I think a part of the problem, though, is the entire celebrity culture, because we are so often let down by those who have those platforms and use them for good one minute and for evil the next. I'll be right back.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. We're talking about the controversies recently in the media and now very much still percolating and boiling around. Certainly the lead one having to do with art right now is about Miley Cyrus, 15-year-old girl. Photo spread by Annie Leibovitz in the new edition of Vanity Fair magazine. Some are calling it art, some are calling it child porn. Almost everyone's calling it a horrible mistake for a 15-year-old girl to be used in this way, to allow herself to be used, and even more in terms of culpability, those who had the power and authority to allow her to be used in this way. She's apologized to her fans. Annie Leibovitz, the photographer, very well-known photographer, she said that she's sorry that there has been a misinterpretation of the images, which is sort of a way of not apologizing, but suggesting that you have misinterpreted her art, and she's sorry you misinterpreted her art. That's an interesting way to try to apologize. But nonetheless, that's where we are. How are parents dealing with this? Let's go to David calling from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, David.
Yes, Dr. Mohler, I think you're right on. I think parents have to safeguard themselves about idolizing these child stars. I was particularly concerned when I saw Miley Cyrus on an award show about 3 weeks ago, dancing extremely provocatively, and so there's been a pattern with her in this, and that hit the media a few weeks ago, and that was her choice. She did two songs, and her second song she came out and writhed around on the ground. It panned out to the audience where 8 and 9 year old girls were shown with their parents, and they looked shocked. And so I think we've got a pattern here that has permeated through all the kind of the child star network.
I really appreciate that point, David, and I really appreciate the point, again, that you're calling as a dad about this, and that encourages me. Two out of the three callers we have had speaking about this thus far have been fathers, and I'm thankful moms are engaged in this, but I got to tell you, I think when it comes to something like this, I'm going to speak as a dad. Dads see what moms sometimes miss. What moms can think is cute, dads see for what it is, because they're seeing it the way boys would see it, and young men. They know what's going on there. Let's just kind of telescope out for a moment and see what we're dealing with here. The first issue I want to talk about is the celebrity culture, because you really can't even mention these names without going right into the celebrity culture, certainly when it comes to Miley Cyrus. And, you know, by the way, I was reading a memoir last night. It's just one of those things I picked up just to see what was in it. The memoir is by Christopher Kennedy Lawford, and that is the nephew of John F. Kennedy, the son of Patricia Lawford and actor Peter Lawford, who was writing his memoirs, a very sad tale in the main. But one of the interesting things is there's photographs in there, and one's a photograph of Christopher Lawford, and he's a very young boy, I don't know, about 5 or 6. And he's with another little boy, and they're both wearing shorts, no shirt, and a little blonde-haired boy sitting next to him. And this is the caption it says underneath. It says, "I'm here with my best friend, Ricky Hilton," who probably at this age had no idea that he would become famous as the father of Paris Hilton. And you think about the celebrity culture and start adding all this up, and you realize this is an economy that thrives on this. And let's put a name for what's going on here. This is sin. It is the outworking of a sinful society. Here's the way the dynamic works. We create a celebrity. The celebrity is created, becomes a brand, becomes an image. People become fascinated with the celebrity. The celebrity is seen to do some things that are good, But the next thing you know, so many of these celebrities, especially young girls who are raised to this celebrity status, they quickly turn bad. But, you know, even that's a part of the branding, because as some of the literature out here on Miley Cyrus is making clear, in this entire entertainment business, if you're too much a good girl as a younger girl, you're going to have to make a transition. That's in the media reports coming out right now. Some of the people who watch Hollywood say, you watch, they're getting advice. They got to do something a little scandalous if they're going to have a career after their little girl career. And so this is a calculated effort. Do I know that that's what's going on with Miley Cyrus? I don't know. But as one article this morning said, if that's the effort, it's backfired because she went too far. But then you start looking at the fact that there are entire packs of photographers, the paparazzi and others, who are following around all these people, whether it's Britney Spears or Paris Hilton or any of these people, and they're following them around in order to find more news stories to feed and more photographs to feed the public's insatiable appetite, both for celebrities and especially for celebrity scandal. And folks, I just want to suggest that one of the things we can do as Christians is turn it off. I mean, there are Christians out there, and you'll know who you are, and you actually take some kind of voyeuristic pleasure in some of these people and their scandalous notoriety. Then I know you're not going to admit that's what you do, but frankly, that's what's going on with People Magazine and Entertainment Weekly and all the rest and these tabloid programs. They're just going on with people who enjoy reading about other people's problems and especially scandals. And again, one of the things we can do is just turn it off. And I know there are a lot of parents who are going to be angry with me for saying this, but I'd say when it comes to the Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana stuff, you know, you really could do without it. And we're really feeding a massive multi-billion dollar industry, branding young girls, and not only young girls, but through the High School Musical stuff, the young boys as well, in a celebrity culture. And the reality is, it really isn't healthy. It's not healthy for the celebrity kids. It's not healthy for the kids who follow them, idolize them, want to be like them. And by the way, one of the reasons why it's not healthy has nothing to do with the scandal of this photograph, has nothing to do with what kind of scandalous things these kids may do. It presents an artificial aspiration for kids in the first place. I mean, it really isn't tremendously healthy for too many young girls to think that what they should aspire to be is a schoolgirl who has a secret life as a rock star. You know, just to put it point blank, it's not going to happen. Nothing particularly wrong with the story, but not really very healthy in the end either. But then when it comes to art, not only the situation with Miley Cyrus, but the situation with the Yale scandal and all the rest, let's remember that we as Christians have a certain understanding of art. God has given us art as a language, as a means of expression, but when it comes to visual art, as well as all that we would call art, our first question has to be the question of the good, the beautiful, and the true. Because in the Christian worldview, nothing is beautiful that isn't true and isn't good. To say something is beautiful that isn't good is to lie. That's exactly what Satan did. We have to say that if it's really beautiful, it's going to be good, morally good, pure. If it's really good, it's going to be true. So the lie can't be beautiful, and the evil can't be beautiful. But just remember, when you're thinking the Miley Cyrus issue or any other controversy about art, or when you see yourself facing an image or listening to music or looking at a statue or watching a program and you wonder what's going on, just remember, the evil conspiracy is this: to make the evil and the untrue look beautiful and deceive us. Keep that in mind. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. You start putting all this together, the controversy at Yale, controversy in Nicaragua, controversy in Germany, and controversy everywhere about Miley Cyrus. A lot of people are saying, what do we think about all this? Well, just a moment ago, I was talking about the real problem of the celebrity culture. And we as Christians have to have eyes to see past that. And we've got to know that there is something pernicious, wrong, and risky about the celebrity culture and about letting ourselves be even too interested in it, and certainly letting our children be too invested in it. That's just a part of the worldliness of the culture we can all do without, even as we all need to admit to ourselves there's something almost pornographically alluring about it. And, you know, there are some, I think, good folks who would look at that and say partly it's because it's easier to look at their problems than to deal with our own. Easier to look at their scandals than to deal with our own sin. And perhaps, you know, a sin that for us may be as difficult to deal with as lethargy or anything else. In other words, scandalous sin is more interesting to us sometimes than the equally deadly sins of the Christian life that we understand that that will never make the tabloids because People Magazine doesn't find this sin interesting. The other thing has to do with beauty, again, and with us understanding that our eyes genuinely, often, regularly lie to us. We've got to be the people, as Christians, who can differentiate between the merely pretty and the truly beautiful. And we need to know, for instance, that when we're looking at the question of beauty, it always includes the good, the beautiful, and the true together. And, for instance, at Yale, here you have an artist who admits she lied. Well, there that goes. And that explains also why there's such ugliness, I think, by any objective standard in what she was presenting. And by the way, this controversy at Yale means that you've got Christian conservatives and liberal feminists in agreement. There's something wrong here, even if they don't agree with why it's wrong. And when you look at the pictures by Miley Cyrus or of Miley Cyrus here by Annie Leibovitz, you know, you've got people in almost every sector of the culture who go, boy, I'm just not comfortable with that. There's something wrong with that. You know, if that picture showed up over here, we'd call it child porn. But in the pages of Vanity Fair magazine, there are people going to defend it as high art. But I don't think there are very many parents who could look at that without just getting the instant protective instinct to say, put some clothes on that girl. Protect her. So parents, protect your children's hearts. Well, keep them out of this kind of danger, of this kind of photo shoot, obviously. But I mean protect their hearts. Keep them from making themselves vulnerable by idolizing someone who we know has feet of clay, and especially when it comes to a young celebrity like this, boy, you don't have to look at much to understand the track record and trajectory. An awful lot of these stories end in disaster. Disaster all around. And insofar as we're a part of building them up and creating this dynamic, we're part of the problem. I'll be back tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.